There are many animals out there that catch their prey without chasing them, by using clever traps and ambush strategies. For example, think of the well-known snake. The snake camouflages itself, doesn't it? And it's lying dead still until its prey wanders too close, and then it strikes. Well, think of the stonefish that hides between the rocks, and then it snaps its mouth shut in a split second and swallows a small fish. It even has a venomous spine to protect itself. And then, of course, I wouldn't say this is my favorite. This is probably my least favorite. This is me, the crocodile. And how the crocs lie motionless in the water. I don't know if you've ever seen them. On the water's edge, lying there like a log between the reeds and the mud. Until an animal comes close to the edge, and then it strikes with lightning force on that animal. And then probably the most common ambush animal we find in our very homes. Children, which one is that? The most common ambush animal. Well, the spider. That's right, the spider. Thousands of species of spiders with their sticky webs that entangle their prey, don't they? Until the spider can move in close enough for the catch. Now, just as animals set traps for unsuspecting prey, life is full of hidden snares for us. Think of greed and laziness, pride, bad company, etc., that can ensnare our hearts and our lives. Proverbs 5 warns us about probably one of the most deadly traps to us, adultery. It speaks of the forbidden woman, mentioning her twice in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and verse 20. She does not need to be a literal woman, but she's a personification of all sexual temptation and sexual sin. She shows how sin can appear to be sweet, exciting, harmless, but ultimately leads to ruin. She shows how adultery is an ambush to careless sinners. An ambush to careless sinners. What is adultery? Sexual relations outside of marriage. Marital unfaithfulness. The call of God is clear. Don't be fooled and don't be deceived. Guard your heart. Watch your steps. And flee sexual immorality. Just as animals can trap their prey in a deadly moment, adultery can destroy our lives in a heartbeat. Wisdom and faithfulness, however, leads to joy, peace, and life that lasts. I know some of us who will be hearing this sermon would have been deeply affected by the consequences of adultery or other sexual sin. God knows and He understands what you're going through, what you have experienced. But let us remember that Proverbs chapter 5 is God's word, and He knows best how to minister to us. Let us consider in the first place tonight the reasons to avoid adultery. Immorality and adultery have existed ever since the fall. In earlier generations, however, it was often hidden in shame. But I don't know if you'll agree with me, today the landscape looks quite different. Society is increasingly condoning adultery. The entertainment industry glamorizes it. And many regard affairs as harmless and trivial. Yet, the seventh commandment is still binding on all people. God is still saying, you shall not commit adultery. God still condemns it and warns us against it. And nowhere more strongly than in the book of Proverbs. And as Proverbs 5 verse 21 states, God is watching. God is watching us. Man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. Proverbs highlights the sin of adultery vividly, warning us that adultery is far from harmless. It destroys lives. It enslaves hearts. And it ultimately leads to death. At least four major reasons are given why we should avoid adultery. First one, adultery will waste your life. We see that in verses 9 and 10, where the writer says, stay far away from the forbidden women, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Adultery squanders what God has entrusted to us. That's what the writer to the Proverbs is saying. Our strength, our years, our honor, our relationships, our resources. Whether a believer or an unbeliever, a person has only so much energy, time, health, and wealth. And adultery drains all of them. Unbelievers may experience this as financial ruin, broken families, damaged relationships, lifelong regret. Believers suffer not only these things, but also the grief of knowing that many years of fruitful service to God has been wasted. An adulterous relationship is a cruel master. What promises excitement becomes exploitation. And those who profit from sin will show us no mercy if our lives are starting to fall apart. Adultery always costs more than what it promises. But wasting one's life is not the only consequence. You will also end up with deep regret and shame. What is the end of adultery? Nothing but regrets and remorse, says the Proverbs. Look at verses 11 through to 14. At the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I have hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembly of the congregation. The end of adultery, the proverb says, is a life filled with groaning, remorse, and self-reproach. The sinner looks back and realizes too late often that discipline and wise counsel was despised. Unbelievers often feel this regret as bitterness, humiliation, a sense of life has irreparably been damaged. Believers experience added sorrow, grief over dishonoring Christ, wounding loved ones, and bringing shame on the name of the Lord that we profess. Sin that was hidden doesn't remain hidden with adultery. Reputation collapses, trust is shattered, disgrace follows. The pleasure of adultery is brief, but the shame can linger for a lifetime. Yet, Proverbs shows that the regret is not the final consequence either. Adultery does not merely leave scars, it tightens its grip, drawing the sinner into bondage. With adultery, you get trapped in your own sin. We read that in verse 22. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare them, and he is held fast in the cords of sin. Sexual sin enslaves. That's what it does. The proverb says that the sinner is held fast in the cords of sin. No one plans to get trapped, right? But like a fish biting a hook, the danger is unseen until one cannot escape. For unbelievers, this bondage often appears in repeated unfaithfulness, secrecy, and addiction. For believers, it brings spiritual dullness, loss of joy, weakened assurance, and a heavy conscience. What begins as a choice ends up being a chain. Sin promises freedom, but delivers slavery. Without repentance and God's grace, I'd say that again, without repentance and God's grace, the cords only tighten. And even enslavement is not the final warning. If discipline, warnings, and good advice continues to be rejected, the Proverbs tells us that adultery ultimately leads to the gravest consequences of all. We read about that in verse 23. He dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he is led astray. The Proverbs end with a very stark conclusion. Persistent rejection of counsel and discipline leads to death. That's where it's headed, with adultery. For unbelievers, this point may be reached by a life that is ruined and eternal separation from God. For believers, whilst salvation rests for them securely in Christ, a life hit by adultery can bring severe discipline, spiritual barrenness, even premature death. In summary, Well, to be bitten by a snake, stung by a stonefish, or dragged under by a crocodile, or wrapped in a spider's web is terrifying. It can be fatal. But Proverbs 5 shows us that the danger of adultery can be worse. It wastes lives, multiplies regret, enslaves the heart. It can lead down a path that ends up in death, even eternal death. We have been informed by the consequences of adultery, which calls us to the need for discernment. Bear in mind, when God warns us of these things, it's not in order to destroy us, but to rescue us. Not to push us away, but to help us. In order to avoid the trap of adultery, discernment is essential. Life is full of choices. Sometimes we make decisions that are not all that important, and at other times we make vital, life-impacting decisions with significant consequences. Adultery is one of them. The stakes are high. God calls us not to be impulsive, not to go by appearance, but to be mindful and wise and discerning in our decisions. Proverbs 5 opens once again with a father addressing his son. Look at verses 1 and 2. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips guard knowledge. Listening to God's wisdom is the foundation of discernment. As we do so, Proverbs helps us to recognize several sobering realities. First, beware of deceivers. Now, from an early age, children are taught, aren't they, to be careful of strangers who offers them lollies or want to offer them a lift. As we grow older, we learn that deception can be very subtle and take on sophisticated forms. Scripture repeatedly warns us that no one who sounds friendly or who are persuasive has a good heart. The adulteress in Proverbs symbolizes more than an individual woman. She represents anybody who would seek to take us down a crooked path. But deception rarely announces itself openly, does it? Which leads to the next principle. Not all that glitters is gold. Discernment requires that we look beyond appearance. We are often tempted to judge too quickly and superficially, to believe that what is attractive must be safe and satisfying. The Proverbs warns us against this mistake. Notice verses 3 and 4. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, like a bee, she has honey in her mouth. But have you noticed that she has a sting in her tail? Yes, she has glossy lips and knows how to use words to send our pulse racing. But where will it end? Where will it end? She speaks to induce gullible people to comply to her wishes. Before the act itself, there's a lot going on. There's a run-up to sin that the wise person will discern before he becomes ensnared. Think of social media, television shows, movies, commercials. They portray affairs, casual sex, and promiscuity as fun, romantic, and living a happy and a free life. And society is normalizing it. Our society is. They dress illicit sex up as attractive and exciting, glittering like gold. But they hide the sting. They rarely tell you of the regrets, emotional pain, shame, broken relationships, and the spiritual harm. That is why discernment and spiritual maturity is needed. By looking at things in the long term. Children and many adults really struggle with long-term thinking. I don't know if you struggle. We want things now, not later. This way of thinking is dangerous. Proverbs 5 warns us that sin often promises short-term pleasure while delivering long-term harm. We can see this when it comes to the sin of adultery. Verses 3 to 5. Listen again as I read. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps follow in the path of Sheol. At first, the adulteress or any sinful temptation may seem sweet and attractive and exciting. Her words are smooth, her appearance appealing. But if we focus on the moment, we will miss the hidden consequences. What looks like fun today, as we have seen, leads to bitterness, pain, and destruction tomorrow. The call is simple. Don't look at the moment. Look at the end. Consider where each of your choices will be leading you. What appears sweet now can become bitterness, pain, and lead you on the path of separation to God or from God. Spiritual maturity learns to discern this danger, to turn away from it, and instead to walk in the path of wisdom. The path of our Savior that brings to us life and blessing. Speaking of the path of wisdom, on the positive side, the blessing of marital faithfulness. Verses 15 to 21 celebrates the beauty and the superiority of faithfulness in marriage. Why stay faithful to one spouse? Proverbs gives us at least three reasons. To those who are married, listen carefully. In fact, let all of us listen carefully. But just a note, to those who are unmarried, these verses do not promise that marriage will solve all our desires. Ultimately, it is only God in Christ that fulfills the deepest desires of the married and the unmarried. But these verses do show us that God's design is always better than sin, and that restraint now is an act of trusting in Him. So then, let us think of the dependability of marriage. In verse 15 we read, "Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well." True satisfaction comes from what's already yours, if you are married. A faithful spouse will stand by you. A prostitute or an adulteress will not. Their affection is fleeting, conditional, and ultimately unreliable. Secondly, there is no waste in marriage. Adultery squanders what is precious. That's what verse 16 is getting at, which says, "Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets?" Don't give your best to strangers. False loves and to hollow promises. Invest your love in marriage, where it is cherished and fruitful as God intends it to be. Thirdly, the beauty and the delight of marriage. At least how God intends it to be. Faithfulness is found in marriage, and it brings joy, pleasure, and delight. That's what the Proverbs is saying. The married couple shares a covenant marked by love, intimacy, and mutual satisfaction. A lovely deer, a graceful doe. That is how the wife is described. Be intoxicated in her love. It is possible for married couples to set their hearts right toward God and to one another and experience innocent and clean sexual love, which is a reflection of God's wisdom and goodness. Verse 20 asks the unanswerable question, why be intoxicated with the forbidden woman? Why? Adultery is really inexcusable. Well, we must make some practical applications. And the first is this. None of us is strong enough to flirt with temptation safely. None of us. That's why Proverbs 5 verse 8 warns us, keep far away from the forbidden woman. Don't even go near to her house. Wisdom doesn't ask, how close can we get without failing? It tells us to stay well clear. That is also why Jesus tells us to pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. Joseph in the Old Testament models true wisdom in temptation. You might know Joseph's story. When adultery pursued him, Potiphar's wife, he did not linger, did he? Or test his own resolve. What did he do? He fled. He recognized that yielding would mean sinning against God. Faithfulness is not preserved by self-confidence when it comes to temptation, but decisive, obedient action to God. No compromises. Secondly, sin has a way of blinding us. I don't know if you've experienced that before. Sometimes we don't even realize how far away we have wandered off. It hardens the heart and it clouds the judgment. That is the condition that the adulterous woman is in. Have a look at verse 6. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. She does not know it. Having for so long rationalized sin, she no longer sees any danger or harm in it. Her judgment has been clouded. That is sin's pattern. Young people, sin will dull your spirituality. It will dull wisdom in you. It will distort your thinking. And you will find that you're going to resist God's truth by living in sin. And what begins as a small compromise gradually starts to redirect our lives. The call then is vigilance. Wake up. Recognize sin's blinding power. And let us rather remain accountable to God. And refuse to play with anything that will lead us astray. Some of us here know the devastating consequences of adultery. Whether through personal failure or the sin of others. No doubt, adultery brings, as we saw, guilt and bitterness, hurt and brokenness. You may wonder, can there be any healing or forgiveness for adultery? Scripture gives us a sobering example in King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, the account begins with quiet words. And it happened. And it happened. And when you read it, you can't but think, David, how could this be? A man after God's own heart, and yet it happened. He fell. David defeated Goliath, but this enemy was far greater. Fleshly lust and adultery proved to be a bigger giant than the giant that he faced in the valley. Adultery also has a spiritual dimension, in case you were wondering. In Scripture, it represents unfaithfulness not only to our spouse, but unfaithfulness to God. That is the root of adultery. A wandering heart and a misplaced love away from God. You and I can commit spiritual adultery without committing physical adultery. We can be unfaithful to the one who loved us first and gave himself for us. We can scorn his love by growing cold towards him and giving in to the sinful desires of our own hearts. I think we've all sadly been guilty of that. And the question again, can there ever be healing or forgiveness for adultery? I think we know the answer. David fell by a look, but he was restored by a look, by turning his eyes to the Lord in repentance. When confronted, he confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." To which Nathan the prophet replied, "The Lord has also put away your sin. You will not die." Forgiveness was real. David later testified, "Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven." Psalm 32. He spoke these words after his great sin and experiences the Lord's forgiveness. In Christ, those who turn to him find genuine forgiveness and freedom, new hearts, a transformed walk to live in obedience to his reign over our desires. There is hope for the worst of sinners. The Apostle Paul assures us of that. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. "And do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed and sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." Proverbs 5 ultimately points beyond marriage itself to God, who watches our paths and calls us to walk wisely before him. Marriage is a gift, not a savior. Only Christ can satisfy our restless hearts, cleanse our guilty consciences, and break the power of sin. Whether married or unmarried, our hope is not found in the faithfulness that we have one to another, but in the faithfulness of the one who is faithful towards us, Christ to his people. Well, may the Lord help us.